Sarge the other day, and we were talking about the New Year's Eve watch night dinner. And he was making note of the fact that we have just, we've entered into the second half of the year already, and we're well into it. And soon we'll have the watch night service here at the church. Also, we're in the midst of the summertime, and it goes by very quickly. I like to take time in the summer to meditate on the beginning of a new school year and a new church business year in September. Our church business year and school year is from September 2026 and goes all the way through August of 2027. So next month we'll have completed our last business year here at the church. Now, my grandmother used to tell me the farther you go and the older you get, the faster time goes, relatively speaking. Each business year, the Lord helps me to think about the theme for the year and to come up with the theme to focus our church for business year 2027, which is this September 2026 through August 2027. So this September will start business year 2027. This morning I feel led a little early to preach a message for you to help you have a vision for your part of this new business year, the part you're going to play, and what the theme of it is going to be. I already have the theme. If I ask you what the theme of our last business year is, I wonder if you could tell me. 2026, our business year will end in August, the end of August, and we had a theme. It was called Things to Fix in 2026. And our senior deacon, he really got into this. He is over the building and the taking care of this building. This building was built in 1885. It was completed in 1886. And thank God, it's always been a church meeting here. It's always been a gospel outreach from 1886 all the way to now. We moved into this building in 1987, Easter Sunday. I remember it well. And, you know, things to fix in 2026, we fixed the carpet in the administrative suite. What a difference that makes in the floor there. It's so much nicer. We fixed the back entranceway. How many of you come in through the back and you see a difference? Yeah, it's, you know, you only have one chance to make a good first impression, and that is the first impression to a lot of people. So things to fix, that was fixed, and it looks so much better. And then if you look at the front of the building, look at the landscaping and the tree removal, and what a difference it is this year. It's improving, although it's always had a lot of work done on it. Brother Eddie for many years, Brother Sarge and others have done work, Brother Matt have done work out there, but it just is so much improved even more. And this building, 1886, things to fix. You know, the stones are old stones. And how many know that it was power washed this past time? Yeah, we power washed it. And what a difference that made in the look of the building. And then, you know, what's really important, ladies' bathroom. How many notice a difference in the ladies' bathroom? All right, I'm just seeing no men raise their hand. Yeah. if you're confused, guys, you meet up here. But not only that, the men's bathroom is being repaired and fixed, and it's under construction. And when it's done, it's going to be so much better. And we are just seeing things getting fixed in 2026. Praise the Lord. And you know, we deal with those kind of things, but as a pastor, I'm looking to fix something in your life. I think about every sermon I would preach is like a greasy wrench that goes into the engine of your life and wants to adjust something or fix something. I know our young people went to camp this weekend, and the sermons are meant to help you fix things in your life that are not right or need to get right. And those are things we wanted to fix in 2026. We're almost done with the business year. We have 1 month next. How are you doing on getting things fixed? I'm talking about besetting sins that you just keep going back to and going back to, and it's time to get those fixed. How about the leaks in your life where you're leaking out the power of God and the blessings of God just because you have things that tend to leak it away, and the blessings you get, you have holes in your spirit and they just drop out. We need to get those things fixed in 2026. But this morning, I'm looking forward to the new business year, and the message is to challenge you for the theme of the new business year. You know, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. That means where there's not a spiritual telescope that can see what God wants, there people are going to die and then go to hell, and we need to get God's vision. And so, so often we've got the hellavision or the television with our vision, but how about God's vision? And this morning I want to preach on that, and this will be for our new year. And you say, well, what is the theme for the new year? It's called More for Heaven in 2027. More for Heaven in 2027. The great George Whitefield, the great evangelist, he said, I know I'm going to heaven. I hope you know you're going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, not because I deserve it, but I have a know-so salvation. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know you have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God. But George Whitefield said, I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go alone. I know I'm going to heaven, but I want to take more with me. And I believe that that's what God wants for this church. We need this house to be filled, not just to fill the house, my friend, but to get people out of hell, to get them to go to heaven in 2027. And I call this message, Getting More for Heaven in 2027. And our text that goes along with the theme is John 15. You've not chosen me, Jesus said, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I want to say three things about getting more for heaven in 2027. Number one, by your getting more to taste of heaven in 2027. More people to taste, listen to me, of heaven in 2027. We got a lot of people tasting for hell. Amen. They're tasting hellish things. They're eating and drinking hellish things. We need people to taste heaven in 2027. 1 Peter 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Listen, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted the Lord is gracious? You know, newborn babes, they are hungry for milk. And I remember my wife used to say, when our babies were crying for milk, she would say, and she was nursing, and she'd say, this is a frequency day. How many have heard of a frequency day? I don't know what it means. I think it means they want to eat a lot that day. And they just keep eating and nursing and crying and wanting to drink the milk. And thank God for me. When I got born again, I started getting hungry and thirsty for spiritual milk. I remember that. I got saved 1967, June 16 on a Friday, 3303 Thompson Avenue, Muskegon, Michigan, just a little ways away from Lake Michigan there. I got born again through my grandmother's testimony and witnessing. I got saved, and right away I started wanting spiritual food.
I had no desire for it before. I had no understanding of it before. I remember going into a Christian bookstore at the time and looking for books about God and the Word of God. And I remember being embarrassed, like, I'm going in a Christian bookstore. This is not me. But it was me. I was a newborn Christian, and I desired the Word of God. I remember going to church. Our pastor preached with a robe. He had a black robe on. Many times, maybe preaching kind of a monotone voice, it was kind of boring. But it wasn't boring to me, because he was giving Scripture, and I was hungry. I was a newborn baby, and I got a taste of the grace of God, and I was getting into it. I remember when Brother Bob Majeski first came to me, I believe it was on a Wednesday afternoon, and he was telling me how he had been in a coma and all of this and what he'd been through and how he came out of that coma and he went to a treatment center. And he was at that treatment center near Philadelphia, and a pastor gave him the Word of God and led him to put his faith in Jesus Christ, and he was born again. And Brother Bob, he was just hungry for spiritual milk, and I started giving him certain books to read to help him, guide him, and he just read those books, and he started to grow spiritually. I'm just saying, in 2027, I want to see more Bob Majeskis. I want to see more Randy Blooms. I want to see more people that are hungry for spiritual milk, because they have tasted heaven in 2027 through you, through your witness. And God wants to do that in your life. I see Dorothy here and Betsy here. I remember Betsy, we were at a birthday and led her to the Lord. And Dorothy and Betsy, it's a good sign that Betsy's there knitting and she wants to be in church. Because, you know, the Bible says in Acts 13:43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That is a good sign when folks want to hear you give them more. When you come to follow them up, they want to hear more of the grace of God. And there are times when people, you know, they pray a prayer and they say that they got born again, or they say, I know I'm going to heaven, and you do the immediate follow-up and they say they're saved. But you go back a week later, 2 weeks later. I think of a guy one time, I went back and he saw me, and I saw him, but it was from a distance, and I saw him running away. He was making for the tall grass. He wanted to hide from me, and I just went right on to another visit. I went right on to another visit, because I said, that guy's not born again. He hasn't tasted of the grace of God. You see, if you taste the grace of God, you want more of it. You can't be satisfied with one meal. You take a baby that, you know, gets his mother's milk, he wants more milk, and he grows. He kind of reminds me of Colton's baby. I call him Baby Huey. How many have heard of Baby Huey? He's like, he's huge. Baby Huey. I think he was a big duck. He was a comic book, Baby Huey. But he just has obviously nursed a lot and gotten bigger. And then pretty soon it gets to the point where they got to have solid food, you know, and then they get big appetites. And if they're Blooms like my family, they never lose those appetites. We got them. That's why I can only eat 4 days a week. I love to eat so much. I can only, it's a God's honest truth, I can only eat 4 days a week or you'd see a blimp up here. But when I eat, I eat. When I stop eating, I stop. But I'm just saying, if you've tasted of the grace of God, you hunger and you thirst for it. And I want more people like that. I want more people that have tasted of heaven in 2027. And I think of tasting of the grace of God and what it does in your life. Sometimes I'll say to Matt McWhorter, Matt, how you doing? He'll say, grateful. He'll say grateful. See, that's what the grace of God does in your life. Because you realize that when you hear the gospel, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I know I can't save myself. But wait a minute. Jesus paid it all? Jesus died so that I could have a free gift to go to heaven? That's how I got saved. I didn't get saved by works. I didn't get saved by being a good person. I got saved by the grace of God. And I'm grateful for it today. I'm grateful I'm saved. And that's how it should be. People that have never tasted of the grace of God, they're not grateful. They think they're God's gift to women or God's gift to men or God's gift to the world. I've got something for you. You're not God's gift. Well, you are once you accept Jesus. But Jesus is God's gift. And it's a free gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 4, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I've got news for you, my friend. God wants more people to taste the good food. He's got free food for people. He's got free food. It's called the bread of life. He's got free water. It's called the water of life. He's got the gift of God to give to people. It's already been paid for by Jesus. It's already been chosen to be given out by the Father. And God says that that is something that we need to have more people in heaven, that taste of heaven in 2027. I remember Charlie Ware, our first pastor, when he was a student friend of mine at Baptist Bible. I remember this people say to him, Charlie, how you doing, Charlie? You know, a lot of people just say, how you doing? Good, good. You know, don't say that. Come up with some kind of answer. But Charlie Ware, he wouldn't say good. He said, I'm saved and glad of it. I'm saved and glad of it. You see, that is somebody that has tasted of the grace of God and wants to testify, I'm saved by God's grace, and I am so glad of it. And if you get people to taste of the grace of God, it will make a difference in their life, and they will keep coming and keep getting more. Marlene Tolley's right there in church today. Thank God she's there, and she's tasting of the grace of God in Brother Steve's Sunday school class. She's in the Golden Oldies class right there. Amen. Did you get something good this morning, Marlene? From that class, I bet you do every time you go. The Word of God. That's something. I want more people that have a taste of heaven in 2027, and they can't get enough of it. They just want more of it. Amen. Amen. They want more of it. Brother Jose Valle here, he wants so much. He wants to go every day and get in the Word of God. Amen. And that's a good thing. He's sitting on the front row, and that's a good thing. Sometimes I have to slow him down a little bit, even. That's what I want. I want more people that have tasted of heaven and want a taste of heaven, new people, in 2027. That's what we need to get. We need to get new people that'll taste of heaven. You say, well, how am I going to get new people that'll taste of heaven in 2027? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, if you want to get more people saved in 2027, enjoy Jesus. Enjoy feeding on Jesus. Enjoy the Word of God, and people will see that, and you can then tell people about what you're getting and the food you're enjoying. You know, I tell you, I get a good restaurant and I like it. I went out. I like Mexican food. I don't know. I like Mexican food, and I got to have it every so often, you know. And the other day, I said to my wife, I'm going to go out. I said, and I was hoping she'd say this. I said, I want to go out and eat in a good restaurant. She goes, Italos. Italos. Now, that's good Mexican food. You want to go. How many have ever been to Italos? That's good Mexican food. And So I went there with her. We went to Italo's. And Sarah, you can put your hand down now. And we went to Italo's. And we had the Mexican food. I don't know what Sarah's favorite dish is, but I like the burritos. I always get the burritos. And yesterday I had a burrito mojado. A burrito mojado. I had to look that up. What's a burrito mojado? And I think it's a wet burrito. Mojado, is that wet? I don't know. Wet? Yeah, that's wet. All right. I had a burrito mojado. And so I ate that thing, and it was big. I thought it was a Mario Grande, but it was big. It was big. Anyway, I wanted it big, you know, like a big burrito. And the guy that served it to me was a big guy. He was humongous. And he served it to me, you know. He's our favorite waiter there. He's a big guy. And he served it to me, and then he said to me, he said, after I was done, he says, man, you ate that whole thing. The big guy was telling me I ate the whole thing, but anyway, you need to enjoy the food that you get, and when you get the grace of God in your life, you like spiritual meals, and the Bible says in Psalm 119:104, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, that's talking about dessert. Amen? I like to eat, but I like desserts. A lot of times, I don't get dessert right at Italo's. No, I go home and get desserts. I buy desserts. I got a whole closet full of snacks. I just have all these snacks. I like chocolate. It's my favorite. Chocolate is my favorite. That's honey for me, dripping from the cone. And I get that stuff. Hot cup of tea, and I'll take whipped cream. I'll just pour that whipped cream on there. One time I stayed in Florida. I stayed at my son-in-law's house and my daughter's house down there, and they had me sleeping out in the living room, and they were in the bedroom, you know, and they said later on, all we could hear is every so often through the walls. They were listening to me. And what they're listening to, I had a big can of whipped cream. I'm just going, and just hitting on that, you know. And it was really good stuff, and I was enjoying it down there in Florida. But I'm just saying, you know, you want to taste the Word of God, and it gives you an appetite for more, and you grow. And as you do that, you want to get more people that want what you got. Now, not everybody has that faith. Not everybody wants the Word of God. You go to people's houses, they don't want to hear you. I went by a lady the other day. I handed her a tract. I smiled at her. She's like, no, thank you. Man, what about heaven? Don't you want? You don't want heaven? You know, you want to die and go to hell? They can't even get water in hell. Thank God for the free gift of God and the grace of God. And I want more for heaven in 2027 that'll taste of heaven and enjoy it. But if you're going to enjoy the Word of God, you have to realize that you have to build up your appetite for the meal. Now, we're in church right now, and I'll keep you long enough, you'll build your appetite, and you'll be hungry for your meal when you get home. How many are already getting hungry for your meal? And you get hungry. But you see, the thing is, if I go home right now, and on my way home, I stop up to Oliphant up here. And I go up to Oliphant right by the anchor on the right. There's a place there. There's an establishment. And let's say I get coffee and put my whipped cream on the coffee, and I get about a dozen donuts. And I start eating some of them. How am I going to be when my wife says, honey, I made you a beautiful, healthy lunch here. How am I going to be? I'm going to be no appetite. You know what? Some of you don't have an appetite to read your Bible. You don't have an appetite for preaching. You don't have an appetite for the old time stuff because you're too busy feeding on ungodly TV shows. You're too busy feeding on stuff on the internet that's no good. Or you're too busy listening to this CCM, Christian Contemporary music that's got a head to it. It's called compromising type Christianity. And you're not hungry for the real deal. Listen,
I'm just saying, you're not going to get more for heaven that way. More for heaven, you want more people to taste of heaven, and you need to develop your appetite. Number two, you want to get more for heaven in 2027, not only by getting more to taste of heaven, by getting more to tell of heaven in 2027. If you're going to do your part, Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." Now listen to what? Jesus chose you to go. You know, John 15, we think of abide. But do you know in John 15, 16, he said, "I've chosen you to go." What does go mean? That's part of the gospel. To a church that believes the gospel, you've got to go and tell. As soon as we leave these doors and we go out into the world, we got a lot of people, they are going where? To hell. Most people are going to hell that you meet, according to the Bible, and it's true. And if you're going to heaven, then you need to tell them. You need to tell them. I remember Charlie Ware, when he first got saved, he went to his Christian school. I mean, his public school, not Christian school. He was very popular in public school. He was the captain of the basketball team. He was president of the student council. He was a black guy in an all-white school in New York State. Very popular, our first pastor. And he said, "Lord, you know," he said, "I know I'm going to heaven, but other people, they don't believe like I believe," he said. "So that's all right," he said. "But if they're going to hell, that's one thing different." He said, "Now, would you just show me if they're going to hell?" And he went to sleep that night, and he must have heard some good preaching, because he went to sleep that night, and he had a dream about people in hell all around him, his fellow students, and they were saying, "Charlie, I'm in these flames. Why didn't you ever tell me about it? Charlie, why didn't you tell me about what you had?" He just thought, "Well, it's good for me. I'm not going to tell others and offend others, you know. Why didn't you tell me?" And he said he just couldn't stop then. He started telling his friends. In 2027, I have a commitment that I want to have more for heaven by telling more. Not only tasting more of the grace of God, but by telling people how they can have this gift called eternal life. It's a simple plan of salvation. God made it so simple. I know at Commonwealth Baptist College, Sister Abigail Zukowski told me this. She got to Commonwealth. And she said, "I thank God, you know, I've been trained here how to share the gospel." And we went out in Commonwealth and we would go out and I could always give the gospel. She said, "But there were some students, they came from churches. They never told them how to witness. They never told them how to lead somebody to the Lord." And so she said, "You know what they do, Pastor?" I said, "What?" She said, "They just take a track like the church track we have. And they give it to the student. They say, you give it to somebody and you read it." And when I went out with Eric Rodriguez, that's what he used to do. Eric would give them a track. He would take a track. He would read and they would read. And then he would explain each point. And at the end, he'd invite them to pray to receive Christ. And the guy was doing great when he was doing it. It was wonderful. Well, we need more people that can tell. We need more people on a Thursday night that'll go out and do something like that. We need more people on a Saturday at 11:15 to go out and do that. And the Bible says in Acts 5, daily in the temple and from house to house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus. Every day they were doing it. And I remember making a commitment to God that I was going to every day give the gospel to at least one person. Give the gospel to at least one person. And that was called a SASAD, Seek a Soul a Day Saint. We used to have a club with that. And I was in that club, you know. And then I went to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. Jack Hiles was leading the school. And it was all on soul winning that whole week. And I went there in 1986 and was all on soul winning. And man, I had to get right with God and say, I've been soul winning, but nothing like I should be. And I remember coming back from pastor school and I preached a message called Don't Wait, Do It Today. And I remember having a guy come to my house and put in a new carpet.
And his name was Fran Perfilio, and he had a carpet business, and I remember him doing it. And I remember a common thought would come to me, oh, I'm getting to know this guy, he's putting in a carpet for me. Hey, maybe I'll get to know him, be friends with him, he'll kind of like me, I'll kind of like him, and maybe I'll get to see him sometime later and say, yeah, and then I'll be able to give him the gospel. And God, the Holy Spirit convicted me, said, don't wait, do it today. Don't wait for that, that's just the devil's telling you that. The devil's trying to, he can't stop you, so he's just trying to slow you down. Don't wait, do it today. And I would just ask Fran, you know, if you die today, you sure you're going to heaven? And then get into the gospel with him. And I'm saying to you, don't wait, do it today. If you're going to get more for heaven, then you've got to tell more. And if you're going to get more for heaven, you've got to tell more people the simple plan of salvation and give it to them. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And it just makes sense. The more seed you put in the ground, the more crops are going to come up. The Bible says cast your bread on the water. It'll come back to you. It'll come back. Listen, just give the gospel more in 2027. And, you know, I decided I was going to do it every day. I did it for a while. Then I went to pastor school in 2006. David Gibbs preached. How many heard David Gibbs? Okay. How many have heard of David Gibbs? Okay, more of you. He preached, and I remember he preached a message called Do the Impossible. And he talked about a preacher in Florida that he went out with, and this guy would not only give the gospel every day, he would lead somebody until they prayed to receive Christ every day. And he just walked with God, and he had to, and I was convicted God wanted me to do that. But it was impossible. I said, I can't do it. And I just didn't do it. I put it off for a whole year. I went back to pastor school. That next year, 2007, I believe it was, he preached another message. And during that message, all I could think of was last year and the commitment I should have made. And that week at pastor school, it was real warm. Usually it's cold in Chicago. It was real warm. And I went, guess what, to a Mexican restaurant and got a burrito. It was a big Chicago burrito. I mean, they make them out there. I got a burrito. It was about 70-some degrees. I went out there. I said, Lord, I'm getting away from everybody. I know what I need to do. I need to make that commitment to get one every day. I came back. I went down the aisle. And I did that for 13 years. Every day, I would give the gospel until at least one person prayed to receive Christ. You know what? You can do more. I can do more. Perhaps you don't go out at all. You can go out. You know, I talk about three to thrive. Not everybody goes to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. But perhaps you could do more. And then four or more to win the war. Four is that extra time when you not just come to church to pray. You come to go out on a Thursday night or a Saturday. Listen, heaven is going to be great. We're going to rest from our labors in heaven, but hell is going to be a long time. I think of Jonah. Bob Gray said this. Jonah was told, go to Nineveh. If you go to Nineveh, give the word of God to him. He did it. The whole city repented and got right with God. I mean, they got saved, man. In Nineveh, the whole city got saved. You know what, though? Jonah at first didn't go to Nineveh. He went out in the Mediterranean and he got a boat and he went the other direction and a whale had to swallow him and spit him out and then bring him back to Nineveh. How many people died and went to hell before that? I remember there was a lady in the hospital. She was Joe Androsky's mother. Joe was saved and a young man in our church. And his grandmother. She was in the hospital, the old Scranton General Hospital. And he told me about it, and I should go there and give her the gospel. I just said, oh, okay, I'll do it. This was in my lollygag day. Oh, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll set it maybe a couple days. I went at the end of the week. It was, I think, a Friday. I was told the beginning of the week. I went there to the hospital. I got in the door. I went down the hallway. And as I'm going down the hallway toward the number of her room, I see all of these orderlies running, you know, like crazy. I see all these people running toward her room. I'm like walking toward her room. I finally see the door. They're all inside the room. I get in the door. And they're all working on somebody in the bed. Joey's screaming on the wall, you know, like, "Grandma, Grandma!" And right there, she died in front of me. And I'm like, "Oh, man, what have I done?" He asked me to give her the gospel. I never even got there. I had her funeral. Thank God for his mercy. At the funeral, when I was going to preach, a nurse came up to me that helped her because she had like COPD real bad. And she said, "I helped her because she was couldn't breathe." She said, "And I'm a born-again Christian." And she prayed to receive Christ with me. I led her to the Lord. Now, that was God's mercy to me. But I never forgot that lesson. I believe there's more you could tell in 2027, more for heaven. Tell more about heaven in 2027. Get more people to taste of heaven in 2027. Get more people for heaven in 2027 by getting more to transfer to heaven. Not only taste of it, not only tell of it, but to transfer their citizenship to heaven in 2027. It says in Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation," and the word for conversation in the Textus Receptus is politouma. Politouma. It has the idea of citizenship, like politic. Politouma. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, we who are saved, we now are citizens of heaven. I had a lady in our church. She sang with a guitar. Her name was Audrey. And Audrey started to have surgeries. And she said, "Pastor, I am going to heaven one part at a time. My body is removing parts from it." But she knew her home was in heaven. I've mentioned this before, but there were some missionaries that went to Africa and they spent their whole life there, decades and decades, serving the Lord and giving the gospel to people. And finally, after all those years, they were coming home. They were older. They were elderly. They were coming on a big boat from Africa back to New York City. And there was a huge ticker tape parade. But the ticker tape parade wasn't for them. It was for Teddy Roosevelt, who went over to Africa on a big game hunt. And he got some big game. And he came back and they had this big parade. Everybody was cheering. The old missionary looked at his wife and they looked down when they got off the boat and nobody was there to meet them. Not relatives, not friends, after all their life telling people about Jesus in Africa. And he said, "Man, here we come home and nobody's here to meet us." He said, "Teddy Roosevelt goes on a big game hunt and they have a ticker tape parade for him." He looked at his wife like, "This is not fair." She said, "Darling," she said, "don't you realize we're not home yet?" I want people that transfer their citizenship to be heavenly people. That they can't be at home in this world, because the more and more you get closer to Jesus, you find yourself at odds with this world. You can't go along with this world. That's what I want more of in 2027. That's what Jesus said. He said, You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you or ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I want people that are remaining. They're still here. They're still watching for Jesus to come back. They're still living for the Lord. They're not living for the world. People that just go back into the world, no, I don't want more of them. I want more that transfer their citizenship from this world to heaven because they put their faith in Jesus Christ and they've been born again Christians. How about you? Are you going to get more for heaven in 2027 by tasting more of heaven, by telling more people about heaven, and by getting more people to transfer their citizenship into heaven? You know, I remember going to California. My oldest son's out there. He knew Dustin Hoffman. He knew all these people, Dick Van Dyke, and he knew all these people. And he sees them once a week and so forth and so on. And he said, I want to show you some of the mansions of the stars. And we saw these $10 million mansions and even some that are being built. And I went through these mansions. And all I could think of is, this is nothing. You know what the Bible says? If you read in Luke chapter 16, I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 16. Here's what it says in the Bible. It says these words, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into eternal habitations. You know what that means? John 15, Jesus said, you've got a mansion in heaven. And when you get somebody saved, they transfer their citizenship, and they have a mansion waiting for them in heaven. And guess what? If you give money to help get them saved, if you give your time to help get them saved, and you put God first, when you get to heaven, they're going to invite you into their homes. And you're going to be blessed to have that. That's where our true home is. My mother just sold her home, and Brother Steve Gary and I we spent a week out there just emptying that home. What a job that was. And my mother's bedroom had certain jewelry in it. And I really feel bad about this because somehow the ladies didn't get the jewelry boxed up, and somebody got it. I don't know who got it. I said, look, we're just trying to empty this house. You know, I can't get a jewelry. I couldn't do it. But you know what? What we could get, we put in a U-Haul. I got the largest U-Haul I could get for my mother. Tried to get the best I could. I knew I'd be fail. But I brought it back to Pennsylvania, and she could look through it. Put it down in the basement. Had stuff there from her house. 70 years in one house. You know what? The next time my mother moves, I won't be able to take a U-Haul and put anything in it for her. Not one thing. But you know what the Bible says in Hebrews? You know what it says? And it's such good news. I'll read the verse to you from the book of Hebrews about that. I believe it's the Apostle Paul writing. And he says in Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. I don't know that my mother took joyfully. I left her jewelry, but took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. Do you believe that? I do. I do believe it. I know I can't take anything with me, but the people that transfer their citizenship to heaven, the people that I've told how to get to heaven, just like my grandmother told me, and she's waiting for me right now in heaven, my mom's mom, just like you can do if you taste and see the Lord's good and get others to taste of the heavenly gift and receive it. That's what God wants, I believe, for us as a church. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. The theme of the year, more for heaven in 2027. How about you this morning and your part? I wonder if you'll say, I can do more. I can do more.